Okay, so welcome back. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to staff and to go to the information sessions. I want to start the public comment portion of this evening, and I've got a few reminders to share. So comments will be recorded for the official record, and the audio will be made available at Rebuild NC website. And if you have general questions, please continue to visit the information session, the information table out front, and we will connect you with someone who can help with your question. If you have questions about your application, there is a case manager out in the lobby that can also take your questions about your particular application. So we ask that you keep the comments tonight focused on the mitigation funding, since that's what we're here to gather data about. So that everybody has a chance to speak, we're going to limit comments to 3 minutes, and our timekeeper, Tracy, will keep track, and she will raise a sign when you have 1 minute left, 30 seconds left, and then again when the time is up. If you haven't signed up to speak but would like to do so, please see the front desk. You can also submit your written comments by letter or email, and you can ask any of our staff tonight about that information. Please silence your cell phones so that everybody can hear the questions and the comments. I will now call on the speakers in the order that they signed up. When I call your name, please come to the microphone and introduce yourself, and then please state your name so that we can have that for the record, and then address your comment to us. So, thank you. First, we will hear from Amy Woods.
Hi. You can hear me, right? I had a suggestion that involves, instead of raising the dirt and the properties that are what you're aiming for as a green zone, raising the houses on stilts like you see at the beach, or in, as one of the ladies pointed out, in Louisiana, they raise the houses above the water level and put them on, you can put them on cement slabs and then put post, use concrete or metal posts to hold the houses higher along the river. And you can put themes on these areas. You can put emergency inflatable for boats after the flooding has passed, after the storm has passed, in case you need to get out. Place in vehicles in the high rises for the vehicle, the carports, so your vehicles above water and the water cannot reach the vehicles. So you're basically raising everything on the property above it along the river in these areas that are prone to flooding, instead of taking and raising the dirt, which would cost more to add more dirt in, which would wash into the river or wash into the culverts and stuff like that. You could turn around and also take with these houses, put solar panels to accommodate the electrical, so in case power outages, so that the places didn't run out of power. So you would have power. You would have your house above water until someone could get to you. You'd have emergency access to a boat to get out. You could have underneath for infrastructure, you could have recreation underneath. You could have cooktops. You could have tables, anything that wouldn't wash away. So anything for entertainment underneath on the housing. And along the river where they're insisting they want to put walkways along the river, if you're going to put walkways along the river, give them a reason to want to go up and down the river. Put shops in these areas. You can put small shops in these communities. You can have these themes. You can have activities and recreation all underneath the houses while keeping people on land instead of just leaving the land vacant. Because this land, if it's just green zones and you're trying to squeeze everybody into the areas above water, not everybody's going to fit in them areas. And to make it affordable, what you need to do is make sure that it's not at a price that's 3 times the income of a household for a month's worth of rent if they're renting it.
Thank you for the comment, Ms. Adams. Ms. Woods, excuse me. And next we have Mary McCormick. Is Ms. McCormick still with us? Okay, we will move to the next person. Ma'am?
She had to leave, I think.
Okay. Next we have Roosevelt Mannigan, or Hannigan. I need to have someone with better handwriting take this list. Thank you. Mr. Hannigan, sorry.
Hannigan.
Hennigan.
Yes.
My name is Roland Hennigan. I represent the town of Maxton, North Carolina. Kind of came here with not exactly the clearest idea of what this is about, but I do understand that as far as litigation, I'm just learning that we have some flooding in Maxton. I started in August this year. I'm not here doing Hurricane Matthew or Hurricane Florence, but I am aware now that there was some flooding in Maxton, and actually some of it closed one of our schools in the area. So one of the areas we like to focus on is that. And as she was giving her ideas, I noticed that you were looking for ways. I saw on the slideshow that there were, you're looking at impounded areas or, I call it impounded, but you dig tunnels is what you're doing. If you can strategically place some ponds to kind of catch the runoff, I don't know how you would do that, but I think that might be a form of mitigation that might help solve some of the problems. But we do have some issues in Maxton. We are a very poor community without a lot of resources. And we just need any attention that you can afford us. Understand there are areas that were hit a lot harder than Maxton that would probably drive money away, but we just hope that you will keep us in mind in this process and come visit us and come stop any way you can. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you for your comment. Mr. David Townsend.
My name is David Townsend. I'm the town clerk for the town of Roland. Roland is a lot like Maxton, a small town with some financial stress on it as we go along. We currently have several drainage projects we would like to move forward on and apply to the county for some federal funding or CDBG funding for those type of drainage improvements. So we'd like to continue to see as much of the resources go towards the infrastructure project and IA drainage improvements as possible. With the drainage improvements we're proposing, we'd also like to see some cleaning ways of the drainage beside the facility so you can have walkways and be completed for future mitigation to eliminate the flood down to the road. One other item we might see some sort of assistance, and I don't know if this comes under NC4 or not, but the financing of these projects, the typical project that we're proposing in Roland is like $750,000. Our town budget is about twice that. So we don't have the wherewithal and the funding to sign a contract to do these type of improvements. Even if a break is probably given several phases, it's the funding of it becomes a problem because I've got to sign a contract, you've got to have the funds in hand. So I'm trying to work out the logistics of how we get that funds allocated so we can sign these contracts to do the project right, not only immediately fixing drainage problems, but long range looking, as Roland is definitely thinking down the road. Because we are battling hurricanes, we are battling flooding. We're not going to be any kills in Roland, I can guarantee you that. So, but the funding aspect, if we could get some assistance from the state or guides, that would be a lot to help us with. The more you put to infrastructure, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the comment. I believe it's Shalonda Regan in the back.
Our parents
November the 30th. So if you already have that in mind, I think the two things that we should focus on to add to our community is first, a resilience hub catered towards the youth. A lot of the long-term recovery stuff, everything that comes in is pretty much adult-generated. It's like they run it. So in my opinion, if we could just put together some type of resiliency like hub for the children, because they are our tomorrow, and if we can implement like STEM programs, teach them coding and things like that, then they can get the information out to the adults quicker. If we can find a building to do this that's not within a floodplain and that the roof can support solar panels, that would be lovely and that would be great. Also, it would, you know, a lot of times the people within our community, sorry, I'm using my notes, should have been quicker, but a lot of the people within our community, they don't really have time or the resources to prepare with survival kits or to prepare with things they may need. So in that event, we can put together programs and things like that to run from this resiliency hub, you know, where the information can come from. That can be like a part of the kids' work, whatever. Also, we need one other thing, wellness parks. I think the wellness park, I looked at a few. I knew my time would allow me to go into details of where they were. But if we can have wellness parks for our kids, it would really help with the collection of the water. It would help to redirect some of the water, you know, storm water collection, so that it will keep it out of the communities and only in the park. Also, within those, so how will we pay for stuff? How will we pay for stuff moving forward? We can have our kids to build aquaponic farms, and they can raise their own fish and raise their own money. So then, in the event that storm comes, we will already have our own resources and everything that we need through these resiliency hubs and our wellness parks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have Dr. Charlotte Williams. Dr. Williams? Okay, we will move along. Adrian Lowry.
Two quick comments, if I may. My name is Adrian Lowry. I'm the executive director for the Huntington House Authority. Previously, I worked on the River Council buildings. So I've administered Brandon, Floyd, Matthew, and Florence programs. One comment I would make, understanding that it's a difficult process, but anything that can be done to expedite funding. Matthew got it in October of 2016. This is October of 2019. We have folks that have not received one penny. And I know that's not necessarily NC Core's fault because you guys are a new agency, but anything you can do to advocate for that money to get out on the street quicker, I think is very important. Now, for the housing authority, I would not be doing my job if I did not advocate for the public housing. We are going to receive CDBG funding to help us replace some of our units. We lost 267 units in Matthew. We have brought 99 units back online, so we have 168 units that we lost in 1968. Excuse me, that we lost in 2016. That's important to us because we serve low-income, senior citizens, and disabled individuals. Right now, we have 1,000 people on our waiting list. So the need for affordable housing is there. So I just want to make sure that when the mitigation discussions are going on, that the public housing restoration fund is definitely one of the ones that's there to receive funds. Because we also operate a Section 8 program. We have 596 vouchers in Robson County. We have 526 leases. We have 70 people walking the streets of Robson County who cannot find a landlord to rent to them because with such a lack of affordable housing, they can charge $800 for a single line that's about to be run out. So they're not going to serve our program. So what I want to do is to echo that public housing. And the thing about public housing that stirs me is if you talk about housing, people say that's wonderful. If you talk about authority, people say those are good. But the moment you put those two together, now it's negative all of a sudden. So we don't have subdivisions, we have projects. Well, I'm here to tell you, we don't have projects, we have subdivisions. So we just want to make sure that when you guys go back and you're talking about how this $168 million, I we still work to have about 96 units that we're hoping the mitigation can help us solve. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Next, we have Francine McLaurin. Ms. Francine. Thank you for your comment. Next, we have Adrienne Kennedy in the back. Thank you for the comment. Next, we have Mac Ledgerton.
My question is, who decides what neighborhood not the first one to be targeted for the buyout program. Many of us are of the opinion that West and South Lumberton and Mayfair and all of the communities in Lumberton and the floodplains can be mitigated and reconstructed and saved. Our residents in our low-income communities particularly aren't engaged in revisioning and reconstructing their communities. They will feel forced to take the buyout. In reality, the buyout program does not then become voluntary, and it becomes a sell-out program, not a buyout program. So what we really need is to come up with principles and practices of just recovery, JUST, based on the principles and practices of social justice. There's also a new term called climate gentrification. It is not just happening on the coast, or wealthy families are moving inland and moving in and taking over low-income areas. It is also happening in our inland rural communities where rural areas are just basically, that are in floodplains are being neglected, and the design, the development, and mitigation is occurring less in those and in the more wealthy and middle-income communities. And I'm just concerned about the buyout program. Concerned that we're not discussing rebuilding affordable housing programs in communities that can be protected from flood, but live and are in the floodplain, so we don't lose our churches, our businesses, our schools, and particularly our minority voting districts as well. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. And the last person on our list is Jeanette Baker.
Hello. I have a concern for an area that I have a house in West Lumberton. Everything that's been said tonight, I don't disagree with it because I don't know that much about the concern that this mitigated money has to be used for and how it will be used. I don't know that much about planning green areas and all that. But my concern is, one of the reasons I have a concern is that I've been in West Lumberton a lot of years and I still have a house there. My children went to school at West Lumberton. There was a nice little school there that's no longer being operated. It will never be operated again according to the decisions that have been made by the public schools of Robinson County. So that's gone. There are probably 100 or more houses in West Lumberton that were rental properties, and they are no longer occupied. And those houses, the owners probably can't afford to redo them. So what's going to happen to West London? Is it going to become just a green area? And is it going to become a ghost town for that part of the city? And this re-emphasizes some of what the Lavington had a concern for. You know, is it just going to be a thing in the past? Is West Lumberton going to disappear because all these residents that left 2 years ago, the majority of them have not come back? So, you know, what's been said is probably well and good, but my concern is that something could be done for housing in that area along with the green areas so that the area does not become
Thank you. That is the end of the list of folks who signed up to speak. Is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment before we close tonight's hearing? Okay, please remember that you can submit your comments by email or by mail if you'd like to, and any of us can give you the information on where to send those comments, but we really appreciate you coming out tonight. We appreciate your comments. We will take all of this under advisement. And then we will put out our action plan, and you can see how well we've responded. But we appreciate your coming tonight, and we ask you to drive safely home. Thank you.
I'll get what you have to talk about.